Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good morning, Oceans Unite. It's great to be with you this morning. And just want to extend some gratitude and honor to Pastor Alex and Pastor Naomi. They asked me to take the service this morning, and it is an absolute privilege, and I thank you guys. It really is a privilege. It's an honor and a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. I get the bubble guts every time. That doesn't ever go away, but it is a privilege, and I look forward to it. If I could ask all of you, if you don't mind, if you'd just receive me as an extension of his ministry in his absence rather than a replacement, I would be forever grateful. It's an honor as a son in the house, even to just be the little pinky. Is that okay? Amen? Is that all right? And this morning, I'm not going to keep you really long. I got a real short message, but I believe it hits home with me, if nothing else. So if nothing else, I'll preach to myself. God has been so heavy on me lately about just, man, relationships getting strengthened and marriages being strong, strong marriages. Like marriages that the enemy can't break apart, marriages. Strong relationships with fathers and sons, and that being restored back in a household where fathers and sons are doing things again and building memories again, and sons look to their dads and they begin to learn how to pray because of how they saw their daddy pray. And this is just so strong in me lately. And that kind of like ties into this whole deal this morning, because I want to talk about rebuilding, specifically rebuilding broken trust. And I think this is an area, I hope it ministers to somebody this morning, and I hope that somebody will glean something from this. It's a real short message. It's just a 5-point sermon, just a cutesy little deal I put together. And I hope it ministers to somebody, because ultimately we've all either broken somebody's trust or we've had trust broken. Now, I'm going to start with a simple little explanation, because I am a youth pastor, so just forgive me. It's just part of my nature to do stuff like this. But I'm a fisherman. If you didn't know, if I wasn't a preacher, I'm pretty sure I'd be a fisherman. And it's a hobby. It's a passion. I love it. All aspects of it, it's wonderful. I love the hunt. I love the catch. I love the eating part after. Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing better than a good, fresh piece of fish. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. The Lord provideth, the man eateth. Praise God. In any event, in the process of fishing and this, it's pursuing this passion and hobby of mine, I started at a very young age, and I believe I have fished with every possible brand known to man. Shimano, Okuma, Pen, Daiwa. If you think I'm talking Japanese, don't worry. We'll really get going here. I mean, I've fished with Accurate, Valiant, Arachi Blanks, you name it. I've used it all. It's fishing equipment. For those of you who are just totally way out there on me, okay? You're welcome. But see, over the years, I've learned to trust Shimano. Now, please understand me. The sermon is not presented to you by Shimano. I don't get kickbacks, and I'm not sponsored. I just like their equipment. And the reason I like their equipment is it's reliable. I've used a lot of other stuff. I've had a lot of other stuff break. No offense, Captain Dave. Okuma's great. I like Shimano. It's just, we agree to disagree. Is that all right? Okay. All right. But the reason why I can put my trust in it day to day when I go fishing and when I decide I'm going to go out or take friends or take family is because every time I get on the boat, I go out and I use it, it works. It just works. It does what it says it can do. If it's advertised to have 29 pounds of drag, praise God, it's got 29 pounds of drag. If it advertised that it is a 100% fully sealed reel, anti-corrosion, X, Y, and Z, praise the Lord, it does what it says it can do. If it says it can handle 30-pound test braid, it'll handle 30-pound test braid. Now, if I want to be silly and choose to take it beyond the limits that it's advertised to do and it breaks, that's not on the equipment, that's on me. But that's another sermon for another day. The fact is I can trust it because it's proven its reliability over and over and over and over again. Now, how many of you know if I go out tomorrow and I decide break out the old Shimano Saragossa 6000 and I just, and it breaks. Uh-oh, Houston, we got a problem, right? And then if it happens again, uh-oh, Houston, we got a problem. And it happens again, uh-oh, Houston, we got a problem. And before long, I'm going to start looking at Penn and Daiwa and all them other brands that I've swept under the rug for years because my old Shimano's aren't as trustworthy as they used to be. And the thing I love about, oh God, thank you, Lord. You know what I love about Shimano? Is even when the equipment breaks, oh, they got a warranty that'll make it right. That just came to me. That didn't come in the first service, so y'all getting the extras. When something does go wrong, you give them a phone call and say, hey, Houston, we got a problem. That 29 pounds of drag went to about 3 pounds of drag because of that tarpon. I don't know what happened, but and they say, don't worry, brother, we'll send you some new drag washers. I know I'm talking total just, you know, Japanese to some of you. The point is I can trust them. Even when things don't go exactly as planned. Okay, so I want to talk about rebuilding broken trust because unfortunately, we've all broken trust or had trust broken. You know, parents, one of the number one things that I get from young people and they want to ask is they say, you know, Pastor Mike, why don't they trust me? I just want them to trust me. Why don't they trust me? Well, the simple answer is, what did you do to break the trust? Any parents in the house? You know, they're only going to not trust you if you've done something to break that trust. Well, I don't understand. My brother just gets to do everything. Don't worry, we picked on sister in first service, but or other way around. But either way, my brother, he just gets to do everything. Mom and dad, they just let him go, and he hangs out with his friends, and he comes home late, and they don't ever check his phone. They don't ever do this. They don't ever do that. He's allowed to do whatever. Well, guess what? Little Tommy has been a good boy. For years and years and years and years and years, and there's been nothing to break the integrity of little Tommy. Little Susie, on the other hand, has just broken that trust over and over again. Time in and time out and time in and time out, and then little Susie gets all frustrated. Why don't they trust me? Well, look in the mirror. Anybody with me? But let me exercise a word of encouragement here. It is repairable. The road may be bumpy, the road may be long, but it is repairable, and it is worth it, and it will be stronger than it ever was before once it's rebuilt. But I'm jumping ahead. Marriages. The number one thing that we need to have, not the number one thing, the number one thing we need to have in our marriages is God. First and foremost, you put him first in your marriage and everything will kind of flow from there. Can somebody say amen? We need to put God first in our marriages. Followed by that, there's got to be love. Love has got to be at the center of our marriage. And then I believe that trust is right up there in the old top three. It's a part of the foundation of a good marriage. Now, I said this in the first service, and you know, I'm going to brag a little bit on God because I'm really thankful for my marriage. I have been blessed by God with a wonderful wife and a beautiful marriage. And because of that, I can brag on it. I saw a bumper sticker. I said this the first service. I saw a bumper sticker the other day driving through town, and it says, it's not bragging if you can back it up. So I'm going to brag for just a minute on my marriage because I'm real thankful to God. And by the grace of God, he's allowed this to follow through. And I'm not, listen, don't get me wrong. We're not perfect. We fight too. Mainly her, but I just got the raised brow. All right, I'm gonna stay on this side for a few minutes. But she can go through my phone any day of the week. At any point in time, if she picks up my phone, and guess what, guys? I don't get anxiety if she picks up my phone. I don't go into panic mode. Did I delete my history? Any day of the week, I can pick up her phone. I can go through her emails. She can go through my emails. She can go through my computer. She can go through my recent history list on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. You name it, she can go through it. What's mine is hers, and what's hers is mine, baby. What it's the bank account, any day of the week. She might get a little upset when I go to the tackle store, because them Shimano's is expensive, ain't they, baby? But the fact is we don't hide it. We have open communication. That's something that we've been working on from day one, right? We just testify openly. Okay, amen. But you know what? We have that kind of a relationship because there's been trust built. But I also realize and I also understand that if there had been something to break that trust, it might not be that easy. And I might not forfeit my phone as quickly. I might have a little bit more anxiety if she went and grabbed my phone in the middle of the night while I was sleeping, if there had been trust broken. If I see her out running around, she's got to go outside of the house to talk on the phone so I don't hear the conversations. That might cause some conflict if there was some distrust in our marriage. She can walk outside. She can go down the road. She can get in her car and drive. I ain't worried about it. Praise God. And I pray it stays like that because it's awesome. And I believe your marriage can be like that too if it's not. I release it into this atmosphere even right now that it will be like that in Jesus' name. But somebody say it takes time. It takes time. And this is not just, you know, marriages and children and raising children or, you know, whatever. Because this whole topic of rebuilding trust can go to anything. If you're a boss, maybe you don't trust your employees, and with possible good reason. If you're an employee, maybe you don't trust your boss, and that's with possible good reason. Maybe doctors, you don't trust your doctors, again, with possible good reason. Politicians, well. I'm gonna leave it. Maybe it's your trainer. I thank God we got godly filled trainers here that are helping to build people not only spiritually but physically, speaking into their lives. But ultimately, that trust can be broken, and it's worth it to rebuild that trust. So this morning, I want to give a couple of keys to help rebuild that trust and to help begin to rebuild those relationships. So point number one is to admit and to repent. Admit and to repent. Now, let's read Acts 3, 19 and 21. It says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. "And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." And James 5:16 says, "Confess your sin, confess your trespasses one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." So, first of all, we have to admit that there actually was an issue and that we did something wrong. And let's just be honest. Can we just have a real talk this morning that admitting that we have wronged somebody is hard to do? If I have hurt Pastor John and I have wronged him, it's really hard to just own up to it and say, "Brother, I've really just messed it up this time, bud." And come to him and admit, "Listen, I'm sorry, X, Y, and Z, I did this." It's tough to do. It's an ultimate act of humility. And the more extreme the scenario, fill in the blanks, right? The harder it can be to actually walk up and say, "Listen, I'm sorry, I did this." And if we struggle to do that, and listen, I'm preaching to myself this morning, it's because of pride. "Oh, it wasn't me, it was you. You're the one who did this. You're the one who did this to my marriage. You're the one who did this to my relationship. You're the one who did this to my kids. If you weren't such a little brat, we wouldn't have these problems." Everybody okay? Can I just be real? Because I've recognized this in my own walk. Please hear me. I'm preaching to myself. I had a situation not long ago where I broke somebody's trust, somebody that I really love. It's not my wife, so don't start the guessing game of who. Okay. But I broke someone's trust. And it took me a really long time to own up to it and say, you know what? It was me. I did this. I caused this problem. I caused this situation. It was me. And I realized what took me so long to get to that point was pride. Because I don't like admitting that I'm wrong, because I'm always right. No one else in here has got that problem. It's just me and Alex Davidson. Praise God. There's grace for us, bro. But you get what I'm saying, right? It's hard to accept it and say, listen, I wronged you. But once we get to that point, then we've got to repent. And repentance isn't just a real quick, listen, I'm sorry. Because repentance is truly a heart condition. It starts in here. I can say it from my mouth, but I had better believe it in my heart. And the believing in my heart that I really am sorry will always cause and provoke a natural reaction for me to turn away from it and to do something else. Because how many of you know if I lied to Alex and I walked, you know, and lied to him, you know, hey man, yesterday I caught a 42-inch snook. That's a bold-faced lie. I did not catch a 42-inch snook yesterday. I said, Alex, I caught me a 42-inch snook. It was awesome. Lie. Alex, I'm really sorry. I will never lie to you again. Lie. Are you with me? But if I go to him and say, listen, man, I'm sorry. I kind of stretched the truth. I didn't even go fishing yesterday. That was a lie. I promise I'm going to do my best to never do that again. And if I do, I'll make sure I come to you immediately without you calling me out on it. Because you went on my Facebook and you realized I wasn't fishing. I was hanging out with Meemaw. Are you with me? I'm giving silly examples to lighten the load here. But ultimately, you've got to repent and turn away from it. It's a heart condition. And that heart condition provokes an outward expression. If I cheated on you, I promise I'm not going to cheat on you again, and now I'm going to turn away from it. If I lied to you before, I'm going to go the opposite direction, and I'm going to begin to walk out truthfulness in my life. If I stole, I'm going to walk out getting rid of that stealing spirit and no more theft in my life, and I'm going to, are you with me? But we got to turn away from it. We got to go the other direction. So that's point number one. And now we'll begin to prepare the hearts for point number two. And this is really important. It's to practice forgiveness. This is something that needs to be done on both sides of the spectrum. Now we'll talk about it in just a minute. Ephesians 4 and 32. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew 6, 14 through 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, it's really easy when we talk about this, when we talk about forgiveness. So like, again, in the context of breaking trust, if I've broken somebody's trust because I did something wrong and I've wronged the individual, it's really easy to go to the person that I've offended and say, listen, you have to forgive me. The word says it, that if you don't forgive me, you won't be forgiven. And it's true. That is truth in God's word. That you need to forgive them so that that forgiveness can flow to you. And so on the other side of it, when it comes to rebuilding trust, it's important that the person that has been hurt in the situation allows that forgiveness to flow so that the process of rebuilding that trust is available. Is that okay? But just as important as that is, it's also important for the person who did the offense to also look themselves in the mirror and be able to forgive themselves. Is this okay this morning? Because sometimes we've done things and hurt other people in such a way that we wake up with guilt and shame and grief and condemnation day in and day out, and it tears us up, and we can't even get out of bed the same way that we used to 10 years ago because of something we did 10 years ago. But you got to be able to get up, look yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? They've forgiven me. I'm going to release myself of this morning in Jesus' name and begin to walk in complete freedom. I'm going to begin to walk this process of rebuilding trust within my life. And it starts with me being able to look at myself and say, you know what? I did do it. But so did David, and he was still a man after God's own heart. And if God can forgive him, he can forgive me. Now, I said this in first service, and I wish I would have given this little bit of a disclaimer, but it's true. I personally am not a big fan of the forgive and forget motto. Now, I realize that I'm thankful that God forgets my sins. I'm thankful that when I'm forgiven, it's gone, and the only person who brings it back up is myself and the devil. And as long as I walk that out, we're all good. I'm really thankful that God forgets about it and cleans the slate so that I can walk free. But the reason why I don't like the term forgive and forget, and it's a term that you hear all the time in the world, is because unfortunately people with ill intentions and wrong motives can take advantage of people who use that to give away trust too quickly. In a toxic relationship, getting beat on a regular basis and you just give out that trust really easily because you forgive and forget. Please be careful. I'm trying to give a balanced teaching this morning. Is this okay? But when that trust begins to flow and fruits of repentance begin to flow, it's important that we begin to extend a little bit of trust, a little bit by bit as well. Is that all right? Because it's also not fair to the person who's trying their absolute best to rebuild and to make this relationship work again and to make this trust come back into the marriage, into the household, into whatever explanation or whatever situation it might be. And you stand there with your arms folded because you can't forgive them. And, you know, vengeance is mine, says Mike Cornell. Are you with me? That's also not fair. But don't give too quickly either. Amen? Can you hear my heart in that at least? And praise the Lord that God forgets it once we're forgiven. I'm very thankful for that. Amen. All right. Moving on. Point number three. Point number three is to recognize and walk in trustworthy actions. Recognize and walk in trustworthy actions. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And James 1:19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for wrath does not produce the righteousness of God. And that one's kind of hard to walk out sometimes. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but man, it's just, you know, someone break your trust, you just want to start breaking necks. But this is important. We've admitted, we've repented, we begin to walk out and practice forgiveness. Now we got to begin to walk out trustworthy actions. So what does this look like practically? Well, youth, young people, if you're lying to mom and dad about where you're going and what you're doing, stop lying to mom and dad about where you're going and what you're doing. Tell the truth even when it hurts, and that'll stand a lot stronger with them than anything else. They expect you to make mistakes, right? I made a lot. I really hope my dad expected that I was going to make a few along the road. But I think the acceptance of my mistake would have hurt a lot less had I not lied about it 15 different times to cover it up, had I just gone to him and say, Dad, you know, I left the chicken on top of the cupboard last night because I didn't want to take the trash out, and I forgot about it. It's 3 weeks later, and it's melted all the paint off the cupboard, and the house smells like rotting flesh. It's a true story. Ask him next week. Telling on myself this morning. I was like 9, guys. I was afraid of the dark. Come on. But that next morning, Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. I'm sorry I lied about it. I didn't actually take out the trash. The chicken's on top of the cupboard. He probably would have given me a spanking because I would have deserved it. And Sunday, you're not supposed to be afraid of nothing, you know, X, Y, and Z. But that pill would have been a lot easier to swallow than like 15 lies later and the whole house smells like dead flesh. Right? How many of you as parents can receive it a little better if they go out and they do something silly, but they come to you before you find it out? You don't got to go searching and looking and hiding and going through their phone and going through their contacts and going through their messages and going through their friends and going the back route and looking at emails to try to figure out what little Tommy and little Susie's doing wrong. They just come running to you and tell you what they're doing wrong. Those are my favorite youth. I don't have very many of them, but they're my favorite. You know, Shai's got her 15 different spam accounts to keep eyes on them, you know. There's three or four every year that just come around to, Pastor Mike, I did this. I'm so sorry. It makes it so much easier, and you're able to trust that person. Even when they do wrong, hear me on that. That's powerful, but begin to walk in it. Spouses, if you've made a mistake and God forbid, but somehow infidelity got into the marriage, it happens. Or something along those lines. Begin to walk out fruits of repentance. Run from situations that you might get caught in that would affect or hurt your integrity. If you had an issue with a lady with ill intentions, the next time you're standing in Starbucks just sweetly trying to get yourself and your wife a coffee and she's in the car and a lady with ill intentions walks up thinking you got that coffee for her, run! If you've had issues watching stuff that you shouldn't be watching and you wake up at 2 a.m. just because you just woke up at 2 a.m, you go downstairs and you get on your phone to watch a hunting video or something, don't sit in the corner with your phone like this, hiding away with earphones in so no one can hear you. So when your wife walks downstairs, it looks like you're doing something that you're not. Put the TV on and put it on loud so when she comes down, she knows, hey, you're just watching hunting videos, I'm going back to bed. Simple stuff, but things that would keep your integrity clean because it's going to take time. You know, rebuilding trust is kind of like a brick wall without mortar. You can build it up really quick because without mortar, you just stack them bricks. Baby, you stack and go, stack and go, stack and go, and you got this wall up really, really quick, but it only takes one blow and it knocks the whole wall down. The problem is when it comes to rebuilding trust, there's not a command Z button where you just whoop and the wall comes back up. You physically have to put it back together brick by brick. It takes time. And I want to let you know relationships are worth rebuilding. I don't know why in America we have this thing where it's like when you hurt somebody, you just run from them instead of trying to repair the problem. Are they not worth it to you? My marriage is worth it to me. If I break her trust, it's worth it. I'm not running. I'm going to repair it. Bob the Builder style. I'm going to go at it with everything inside of me. If I hurt you, I'm going to do everything I can to make it right. I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to run to it and try to fix it, and we need to do that. If we really want to see the fire of God hit this city and hit this nation, it starts at home. It starts at getting our relationships right instead of every time you get hurt, running. Well, that pastor hurt me. I don't trust him anymore, so we run to another church. All right. Amen. Amen. Recognize and walk in trustworthy actions. Romans 12, 9 through 13 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, and distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We need to walk this out. This needs to be how we handle our lives as Christians. Is that okay? Okay, point number 4 is we need to put our trust in God. We got to take God at his word. If you believe that he can deliver you, if he believe that he can heal you, if you believe that he can restore you, if he can restore your marriages, it can take place. But if you go into this whole process trying to rebuild trust and all this other stuff, and you don't believe that God can do it, you're already on the wrong foot. We got to believe that he can actually do it, and that I can put my trust in him and I can take him at his word. He is the healer. He is the restorer. He is the deliverer. So that means he can deliver my children from rebellion. That means he can deliver me from that lying spirit. That means he can deliver me out of the pride that I continually put myself in. Are you with me? But I got to take him at his word, and I got to believe that he can actually do it. I got to put my trust in God. I can stand up here and give you every point, cutesy little sermon points that I can come up with, and they'll do nothing in your life if you don't do this. And I like good points, and I like things that are practical, because I like practical preaching. But practical preaching without God does nothing, because ultimately he's the one we got to put first in every area of our lives. So we got to trust him to follow through on his word. Joshua 21, 44 through 45 says, "The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. And not a man of all the enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all of the enemies into their hands, and not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass." He is good and faithful to do it. He is good and faithful to restore your marriage. He is good and faithful to restore the relationships with your children, with your co-workers, with your doctors. I believe he's even good and faithful enough to restore the trust in our politicians. And I know that's a stretch. Come on, y'all. But I trust him and I take him at his word for it. I believe he can do it. It's not too small of a thing for Almighty God. Amen. Proverbs 3 and 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." That's hard to do. "And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Amen. Okay, my last point, and then we're done. I told you it was a short sermon this morning. Is we got to have patience in the process. Let's go to Romans 8 and 25. It says, "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." And Galatians 6 and 9, and says, "Do not let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." We need to have patience in the process. And I realize that ministering a word like this, every situation is different. You know, trying to rebuild trust from, you know, somebody telling a little white lie here and there may be pretty simple to do, but rebuilding trust in a marriage where infidelity is crept in might be a little bit different of a story. I realize that. And I understand that every situation is different, and every situation is going to have to be cared separately in its own unique way. But either way, we need to have patience in the process. We got to have patience in the process. See, as a builder, many of you know, I do a lot of the maintenance stuff around here at Ocean. So on a day-to-day basis, if you hop by the church, you'll see me on the ground somewhere and in the sky on some scaffold or pulling some wires or repairing some drywall or fixing stuff in Ocean's kids. Because man, oh man, them kids can break stuff. Y'all want to figure out how to do some real product development? Give it to a bunch of four-year-olds and just let them have at it. You'll figure out every weak point. That's a fact. In any event, as somebody who does that kind of work on a day-to-day basis, I really try to pride myself in never rebuilding something the same way I did it the first time. So if I build something in a four-year-old in kids ministry, I'm going to pick on you guys because Miss Jenny's in here. If I put together a pirate ship in children's ministry, and on day three of the pirate ship being in kids' ministry, yeah, they broke it again. Schedule 40 pipe, y'all. They broke it again. Okay. I build the pirate ship, and the four-year-old's in there. And they break the steering wheel off the pirate ship. When I go back in there the second time to fix it, you know, I went in there with schedule 40 PVC. The next time, I'm coming in with 2-inch schedule 80 black pipe. That pirate ship's going to weigh 700 pounds, but y'all break it now. Come on, are you with me? It doesn't make sense to rebuild it the same way. How many of you guys have heard that, oh, they broke that trust? I'll never forgive them. The relationship will never be what it used to be after this. How many of you guys have heard that? I happen to agree with that statement. I know, conflict of interest. But I agree with it, because nobody in their right mind ever rebuilds something to be as weak as it was before. And if you're willing to have faith in the and patience in the process, you will always rebuild it stronger than it was before. So my brick wall
that I was just laying my bricks down like Legos, like I did in preschool. The second time I go around, if it's worth it, and I promise you the relationship is worth it, I'm not just going to lay my bricks down. I'm going to put some mortar on them, and I'm going to lay them bricks in that mortar, and I'm going to drive some rebar down inside of them bricks, and that wall ain't ever coming down, and it don't matter what enemy comes against it, that wrecking ball can hit it and hit it and hit it, and he's going to realize, oh, no. He took the time. He had patience in the process, and it was worth rebuilding that wall. And in our families and in our relationships and in the things that we do, it's worth rebuilding it. But have patience in the process, because building a good thing takes time. Building a good thing takes time. Building a good marriage takes time. Having a good relationship with mom and dad takes time. Righting our wrongs takes time. But have faith and patience in the process, and I promise when it gets rebuilt, it'll be stronger than ever. And that person that you broke their trust, when you really put the time and the effort in and you do it right, man, they'll trust you like never before. Like never before. And that's my prayer this morning, is that in your lives and in your relationships, whatever they may be, and in your marriages, I pray that that trust would come in, that there would be restoration, supernatural restoration in marriages, in families, with children, with coworkers, with employees, with bosses, whatever it is that you need, I have faith in God that He can do it.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.